family, and friends, let us begin by being reminded that our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth,
who keeps truth forever, and who will never forsake the work of his hands. The Word of God teaches us that through the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be absent from the body is to be with Christ, and that to depart and to be with Christ is far, far better than living on earth. It is so for those who truly believe in Jesus Christ, because for us death is merely the last enemy to be defeated. It is the beginning of life eternal in the presence of our God. And the believer may say with the psalmist in Psalm 27, verse 4, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." This longing for our dear departed one has now been fulfilled. He will be in the presence of the Lord for all eternity and then some. This is the goal of every Christian's longing, to be with his God. It stings in our hearts for those who are still here, not allowed yet into the presence of our God. But our brother is with his God, rejoicing where there is no more pain, no more sorrow, no more concern, no more guilt, and no more misery. Dear friends, on behalf of the Van der Sloot family, I want to welcome you and thank you for coming to Jack Jr.'s funeral service. Your presence and your prayers for the family are a blessing and are highly appreciate it. May we now together go before the throne of grace and pray to the God of our hope. Let us pray. Almighty God, God of abundant compassion and mercy, our Heavenly Father, sovereign God, maker of heaven and earth, governor and sustainer of all things, you are the God in whom we live and move and have our being. God who numbered our days, against whose will not even a sparrow falls from a tree, ordaining whatsoever comes to pass. O Lord, knowing all these things, that not a hair can fall from our head apart from our Heavenly Father, knowing this, we ask, be our comfort, O God, be our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Be with us, for we are grieving. Comfort us, for we are hurting. Send your Comforter to comfort us and to keep us in the hope of your gospel. O Lord, have mercy upon us. For the glory of your wonderful name and for the blessing of your people, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We will now hear a solo delivered by Elder James Coya in the Sweet By and By.
There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious song of the blessed, and our spirits shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessing of rest in the sweet. We shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful time. If you would turn in your blue Psalter hymnals in front of you to number 380. We want to all stand to sing Amazing Grace. Number 380 in the blue Psalter hymnal in front of you. Stand to sing.
Thank you. I have been asked. By the family to say a few words to the younger generation. We all want to be happy. When we are children, maybe toys make us happy. When we get a little older, our friends might make us happy. In our teen years, sometimes winning a ball game makes us happy, or the tournament makes us happy. When we get older, our spouse or a good paying job makes us happy. But all these things only last for a short time. Only the one thing will matter, and that is my personal relationship with Jesus Christ. As we see before us today, we do not have to be old to die. But praise the Lord, the Bible tells us how we can be happy our whole life until death, and then through all eternity. Psalm 90, written by Moses, tells us of the shortness of life and the surety of death. Verse 1, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Verse 4 through 6, for a thousand years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. You carry them away like a flood. They are like a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which grows up. In the morning it flourishes and grows up. In the evening, it is cut down and withers away. Then verse 10, the days of our lives are 70, and if by reason of strength they are 80, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. It doesn't matter how long we live. It is soon over, no matter how old we are. But verse 14 says, oh, satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. I stress, all our life. Not just a few years, but all of our life. The Lord promises us happiness for our whole life. And if we have trusted in the finished work of Jesus, this is what will give you peace, even in the valley. God is good. The Lord encourages us to seek him early, for only then will we be truly happy all our days, even unto death. So young and older, today is the day to seek him, and you will be happy in life and in death. And then, for all eternity, may the Lord bless you all.
If you refer to your service bulletin, you will find the song In Times Like These, and we will be singing verses 1 and 2, and we will remain seated. Is one of the hardest things, I believe, for a minister to choose an appropriate text and an appropriate meditation to such a solemn occasion. This is a very special coming together for those who are mourning and grieving over a loved one who has departed. Which text is sufficient? What is sufficient to say at such an occasion? In this respect, I'm very grateful to Jack Jr. He made it a little easier for me, and he had a passage that he wanted to be expounded at his funeral service. And what a passage it is. He requested Jeremiah 31 and verse 3, where God speaks to his people through Jeremiah, "I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore I have continued my faithfulness to you." A short text, but how explosive, how much power of comfort, how much hope, how much joy lies in this text. And it is the most appropriate text that we could have. Because while we are grieving that he's gone, he's not. He's riding on God's everlasting love. But let us take a minute to look at the context of this passage. Now, this is the book of Jeremiah, and Jeremiah was a prophet in the Old Testament. He began his ministry under the revival after a glorious time of the church, let me say, the Old Testament church under King Josiah. It was a time that people would think back with much joy and affection, because it was a time when the people of God were strong in their faith. It was a true revival. But this revival, as it is so often, was very short-lived, because right after King Josiah had passed, right after he had died, the nation of Judah immediately plunged back into their old ways of apostasy. And the warnings of the book of Deuteronomy became a painful reality for them, and the judgment of exile was pronounced over Judah by Jeremiah. So for the most part, Jeremiah is a very sad book. It spends almost 30 chapters only reiterating the sin of God's people and describing their judgment. And if one doesn't read on past chapter 29, one would go away from this book depressed. But then comes the turn. The tone changes entirely. And then comes our chapter 31. And I now want to read it to you in the context of verses 1 through 3. So keep in mind, almost 30 chapters of judgment pronounced, of sin described, of the worst kind. This is not, you know, your daily sins that we could say acceptable sins. This was heinous violation of God's holiness. We would say, I'm done with Judah. God is surely done with them. It's over. It's done. There is no hope. And then comes our passage. At that time, declares the Lord, I will be the God of all the clans of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness when Israel sought for rest. The Lord appeared to him from far away. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. What a glorious passage of God's mercy. What a glorious explosion of gospel hope in the middle of the Old Testament. Well, we see clearly how this applies to Judah. They have done heinous crimes. They've committed heinous sins. And yet God once again has mercy on them. But one or the other might be confused. Yes, this is true for Judah in that day. But what does it have to do with us Christians today? And passages like 1 Corinthians chapter 11 deal exactly with that question. What does the Old Testament, what does God's dealing with Israel have to do with us? And it says in verse 11 as an answer for us this afternoon, now these things that he just described, God's dealing with his people in the Old Testament, now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction on whom the end of the ages have come. You see, while we are not the nation of Israel or Judah for that matter, and we are not living in Jeremiah's time, we are those who believe in Jesus Christ, God's Israel in Jesus Christ. You see, it's the same principle. That's what God is telling us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He's telling us, yes, you can look at Israel. You can look at God's dealings with his people. And while you're not in that time or exactly in that situation, the principle, the God behind it is the same for you, because the salvation that you hold is the same salvation that they held in the Old Testament. There was never a salvation apart from Jesus Christ. Not in the Old and not in the New Testament. Without Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. While he was presented to God's people, while he was presented in sacrifices, while he was presented in pictures, in rites, in prophecies, we now have a clearer picture. But the Christ is the same. Those in the Old Testament were saved looking forward, hoping for the Christ to come. And we in the New Testament are being saved by looking back that he already has come. But also looking forward that he will for sure come again, and that is not an idle hope for a funeral services or for Christmas or for Easter. That is a sure hope that is more true and more sure than the bench or the pew that you're sitting on. Christ will come again, and this principle that we see applies not only to Judah in the time of Jeremiah, but also to us today. And you know why? It lies in who God is. It lies in the nature, in the perfections, in the attributes of God. And in Malachi says, I am the Lord, I change not. The promise is still the same because God doesn't change. The promise is not the same because we are so faithful, because we're not, none of us. As faithful and as upright as we might present ourselves on the Lord's Day, we're not. We are constant covenant breakers through our sin. We are like Judah, constantly falling, being picked up again, constantly falling, being picked up again. At some point we would say, enough is enough. But God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love, therefore I have continued my faithfulness to you. You see, the reason for this sure hope lies not in us, but in the nature of God. It is His faithfulness that holds us. It is His faithfulness that will carry all those through who put their hope in Jesus Christ, as tiny and as stumbling and as imperfect that hope might be. And that's the principle. That's the principle that we see in Jeremiah 31 that applies to us today. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. God loves His people with an eternal love, with an unwavering love, with a sure 100% love. He has always loved them from before the beginning of the world, from before the beginning of time, not because we're so cute. You know yourself better than that. I know myself better than that. We are not cute. We're actually quite the monsters, constantly sinning against the good and holy God. But those who have put their trust in Jesus Christ, nevertheless, stand firmly, because this everlasting love refers to them not because of their cuteness, but because of God's characteristic of faithfulness, His unchangeableness, His immutability. That's where our assurance lies for those who put their trust in Jesus Christ. Since God is faithful, His love is not a fickle love like ours. How often, if you think back in your life, how often were you disappointed by somebody because they thought you just went too far and their love or their affection or their friendship just ended? And if we're honest, we ask, how often has our love ended where it shouldn't have ended? Human love is a fickle love. You cannot rely on it. But God's love is not. God's love is an everlasting love. A love that goes through this life with all our stumblings, without our fallings, with all our shortcomings, and it reaches through the grave into life eternal in Jesus Christ. But who is it, we ask, that receives this everlasting love, this eternal love that will never end, a love that we are dreaming about, don't we? It is only for those who put their trust in Jesus Christ. Those who understand that they are sinners and they have nothing with which they could earn God's favor. Those who declare themselves morally bankrupt and cling to Jesus Christ with as little strength as they might have. Those who follow Christ's call in Matthew chapter 11. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, he exclaims. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Rest for our souls, isn't that what we all want? Rest in the midst of the storm, in the uncertainty of our times, when death comes to us, rest for our soul, and then rest eternal. Isn't that what we all want? And he adds, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You see, my dear friends, it is not about church attendance. It is not about pedigree or what upright member in society you are. It is not even about how broken over your sin you are. This is all rubbish. It is about you running to Jesus Christ in order to find forgiveness for your sins and reconciliation with God. This principle applied to Old Testament Judah, to Old Testament Israel. It applies also to our day and age, and it applied to our dear departed brother Jack Jr. I know this for a fact. He was the one who wanted this passage. He wanted you to hear this passage today. He wanted to expand the kingdom of Christ even in his death. He knew he was a sinner. He knew that he had nothing to show before God. He knew that he was a failure like we all are. But he ran to Jesus. And he brought all his sin and all his guilt and all his misery and all his pain, and he received forgiveness. And when he was reminded of his sin, as the evil one loves to do with God's children, he clung to Jesus Christ, the Jesus Christ who held him. Sometimes he stumbled to Jesus Christ like a child would hold on to the father's leg, not even realizing that he was held all along. He knew that there was faithfulness with God. He knew that there is mercy in God for sinners. Jack Jr. has finished the race. He rejoices. All of his days that were written in God's book for his life are completed. There is no accident. There is no unfortunate chain of bad circumstances. It was God's appointed time. So as our brother told us before, that also we have our God-appointed time to meet with God. But when Jack Jr. saw his health declining and his life on earth coming to an end, and as he gently fell asleep, he clung to what he knew and he held on to the kind of love that only God has. A love that reaches beyond the grave. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. That's what he held on to. That's what held him. That was his rock. That's what carried him through. And that's what will be with him in all eternity. Remember, it's an everlasting love. Yes, we mourn, but we mourn not without hope. Not with a vague, but with a sure hope, as we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, these glorious words. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. We are the ones who are grieving today, not Jack Jr. But he wanted you to know that there's an everlasting love for those who flee to Jesus Christ. You might think you're not good enough. I agree. None is. You might think you don't have enough strength, or you do have. If you want to run, you can. Run to Jesus. That is the love that will never disappoint you, the God who will never forsake you, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our King. All glory may be unto him from eternity to eternity. Amen. Let us now sing another song. And this is also in your order of service. Jesus loves even me, and we sing all verses. You can remain seated. Almighty God, our most gracious, merciful Heavenly Father, who by the death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, has destroyed death, and by his glorious resurrection has brought life and immortality to light. O Lord, receive our unfeigned thanks for that victory over death and the grave, which he has obtained for all of us who sleep in him. O Lord, how we thank you for your mercy. How we thank you for your everlasting love. And we ask you, O Lord, that you might use through your Holy Spirit this day of grieving, that we may be reminded, or for the first time, our hearts may be opened up to the opportunity of a resurrection. That we have our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, the only hope in life and death and beyond, our Lord and our King, Jesus Christ. O Lord, help us that we who live on will make use of this time to bring glory to your name and to be a blessing to your people. O Lord, may we see him, the Son of God and Son of Man, who is our only hope. O Lord, help us, for we ask in the great and glorious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and King. Amen. We now come to the committal, and I would like to have the liberty to read to you a passage of 1 Corinthians 15, a glorious, hope-giving passage where Paul encourages us. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Many things will change now for many of you, as Jack Jr. is not among us, at least for now. That is a change that can make us scared. That is a change that pulls us down, that creates or is capable of creating a form of darkness in our souls. But we must not focus on this change. We must focus on the other change, the change that will happen at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of our days, whatever comes earlier, that the perishable shall be changed into the imperishable. The corruptible shall change into the incorruptible. That's the change where we have to lift our eyes onto. That is the hope that we live by. That is the hope that Jack Jr. lived by, who he wants us to live by. That is the hope that we were made to live by. Hear now the words of committal. For as much as it has pleased Almighty God of His great mercy to take unto Himself the soul of our dear brother here departed, we therefore commit his body to the ground, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection in the last day and the life of the world to come, through our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose second coming in glorious majesty to judge the world, the earth and the sea shall give up their dead, and the corruptible bodies of those who sleep in him shall be changed and made like unto his own glorious body, according to the mighty power whereby he is able to subdue all things to himself. Let us pray one more time. Almighty God, all mysteries, all secrets, all questions, all uncertainties find their answer in Thee, O living God. We thank You, our Lord, that You have not left us in darkness, but You have given us Your Word, that we can see and read and picture in our minds the sure hope that lies before us in Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, we are not worried about Jack Jr. anymore. We are worried about ourselves. And we ask You, O Lord, through Your Holy Spirit, to lift our eyes unto You, unto Thyself, to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who will one day come back to judge the quick and the dead, to be our finisher of our faith and of our salvation. Oh Lord, help us. For the glory of Your name and for the good of Your people, we also pray especially for the Van der Sloot family, that You be with them, that You carry them and You bless them, and that they will continue to be witnesses for this everlasting love that comes only from You. For we ask it in Jesus Christ, our King and our hope. Amen. Let us now Stand to sing number 447 in the Blue Psalter hymnal in your pew. 447, 1, 2, 3, and 6. 1, 2, 3, and 6 of 447. And then please remain standing for the benediction, and then we sing the doxology. Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Let us sing the doxology.